Amen. All right, we're there in Romans chapter number 5. And of course, usually on Wednesday nights, we are going through a verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Corinthians. And we're going to take a break from that tonight. Of course, tonight is a very special service with our Lord's Supper. But we'll be back into that, 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, next week as we continue through our Bible study. But tonight, we're here in Romans chapter number 5. And I, of course, when we're taking the Lord's Supper and partaking of the Lord's Supper, it's a very special thing. It's one of the ordinances that the Bible teaches for us to do. It's one of the very special things that I get to do as a pastor is to administer the ordinances, the Lord's Supper and baptism as an ordained minister. And tonight, what we are doing is we are remembering the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do the Lord's Supper here on a Wednesday night before Easter. I think it's very appropriate, since on Sunday we will be celebrating the resurrection of Christ, that on Wednesday we would remember the death of Christ. And the purpose of the death of Christ was a payment for our sin. That's very basic and very fundamental, but it's something that we should remember and that we should think about, especially now. We should think about it often, but especially now. And I'd like to just for a few moments, I'm not going to preach very long tonight. I'm going to give you some thoughts, and then we will partake of the Lord's Supper tonight. But I'd like to speak to you on the subject of the payment for sin, the payment for sin, and the reason that Jesus came to this earth. You're there in Romans chapter 5. We read the chapter. But I'd like you to flip over just real quickly to Romans chapter number 6. And I'd like you to look down at verse number 23. This is a very well-known verse, a very famous verse, especially in a soul-winning church like ours. You probably quote this verse a lot if you're a soul winner. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word wage means it's referring to something that's earned, something that you get. Oftentimes when we are out soul winning, we will maybe use a little illustration to help people understand. And we'll say, you know, you're probably familiar with the term minimum wage. And a minimum wage is what you earn. It's the minimum amount that you're allowed to earn. If you go work at a fast food place, they'll probably start you off at minimum wage. But the word wages is something you earn. It's something you get as a result of your work. Well, the Bible here tells us that the wages of sin, and it's good for us to remember that there are wages for sin. As a result of being sinners, we earn something. There's something we get. And the wages of sin is death. The Bible teaches that death is the payment that must be made for sin. This is why Jesus came to this earth. He did not only come to this earth to live a good life, though he did live a good life. He did not only come to this earth to teach good lessons, though he taught very wonderful lessons, or to perform miracles, though he did those things. He came to this earth to die. He came to this earth to give himself as a sacrifice. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. Now, you're there in Romans 6. Flip back to Romans chapter 5, and I'd like you to look at these verses, very familiar verses. The wages of sin, or the payment of sin, is, first of all, as we remember tonight, and as we remember tonight as we partake of the Lord's Supper, what we're really remembering is the physical death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I need to remember that the wages of sin are, first of all, a physical death. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, notice what the Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man," the one man here being referred to is Adam. And of course, this is a reference back to the story of Adam and Eve. And I'm not preaching about biblical manhood tonight, but let me just point out to the men in this room that it's interesting when you go back to the story of Adam and Eve, that it was Eve who took of the fruit. It was Eve who gave to her husband. It was Eve who sinned and who brought sin into the garden. But as far as God is concerned, the blame lies solely on the shoulders of the man, Adam. "Wherefore, as by one man," you say, why doesn't it say one woman? Well, God made Adam the leader. God put Adam in charge. And again, I'm not preaching on the home. That's a different series for a different Sunday. But men, remember that you're the leader, and God holds you accountable. God is the one that's holding you accountable for your Christian home, your consistency to church, your wife's consistency to church, your children's consistency to church, your consistency in soul winning, your consistency in Bible reading. God holds you accountable. Wherefore, as by one man, the Bible says, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Notice that the wages of sin is death. And so death passed upon all men. Notice, for that all have sinned. Skip down to verse number 17, same chapter. Notice what it says. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. The offense there is referring to sin. And by one man's sin, death reigned by one. Look at verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Look at verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death. And I'm just pointing out to you very quickly tonight that the payment for sin is a physical death. The result is the fact that we die physically. Keep your place there in Romans, if you would, and go just real quickly to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 2. First book in the Bible, should be fairly easy to find. Genesis chapter number 2. In Genesis chapter number 2, I want to point out to you what God had said to Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 2, specifically what God has said to Adam. Genesis chapter 2, look at verse 15. Genesis 2:15, the Bible says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying," notice what God commanded the man, "of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." He said, you can eat of any tree of the garden that you want. Verse 17, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it." Now, I want you to notice this. It says, "For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." God said, look, the day you eat of the tree, the day you disobey, that day you will surely die. Now, here's the thing. Adam and Eve did not drop dead on that day that they ate of the tree. Their spirit died, and they became in need of salvation, but their bodies physically began the process of death. Their bodies began to deteriorate, and they eventually would die. And I just want you to understand that the Bible teaches, and I know you know this, but it's good for us to be reminded of these simple things, that the payment of sin is death. The wages of sin is a physical death. Our bodies, as we grow older, start to not work as well, start to fall apart. We start to have all sorts of pain. You say, why is that? God did not create that, our bodies that way from the beginning. It is a result of sin. Sin brings death, and sin is going to eventually, if we don't live to the rapture, kill us all physically. But there's more. It's not just a physical death. Go to Revelation, if you would. Revelation chapter 20. You're in the first book in the Bible. Go to the last book in the Bible. Should be fairly easy to find. Last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 20. I'd like you to look down at verse number 14. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14. See, when the Bible says the wages of sin is death, it is referring to a physical death, but it's not only referring to a physical death. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14, the Bible says this, and death. I want you to notice, death is a reference here to physical death. And death, but notice it says also, and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Notice these words, this is the second death. See, according to the Bible, when somebody dies physically, this is just the initial death or the first death. After that comes the second death. You say, what's that? Well, notice verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Here we are told that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Real quickly, go with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter number 16. Towards the beginning of the New Testament, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter number 16. See, the payment for sin, here's the thing. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. As a result of being sinners, there is a payment. There is a wage. There is something that we have earned. What is it? It is death, physically, physical death. We will die physically. Our bodies will corrupt. They will decay. They will stop. Our heart will stop breathing. Our heart will stop pumping. Our lungs will stop breathing. And we will no longer have physical life. But then the Bible says that there's also a second death. What is that? Luke chapter number 16. Notice verse 19. Here we have a story. Sometimes people like to say it's a parable. I don't believe it's a parable. I believe it's a literal story, a real story. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. The Bible says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and designed to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that as the beggar died, notice, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, the rich man also died and was buried. This is a reference to a physical death. The rich man died and his body was buried. Why? Because a sinner, just like Lazarus, he was a sinner. They both died. But notice, the rich man, the Bible tells us in verse 23, also experienced the second death. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. See, the Bible teaches that the wages for sin is death. But when the Bible says the wages for sin is death, it's not only talking about a physical death. It includes the second death of being cast into the lake of fire or of going to hell. You're there in Luke. Go with me real quickly to Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter 10, just flip back past Mark into the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And let me just explain this, and it's not a big deal, but I think it's good for us to make sure that we are using wording that is correct. Sometimes people will say things like this. They'll say, you know, the first death is a physical death, and the second death is a spiritual death. And I understand why people say that, and if you said that, I'm not attacking you. Many people say that. But I want you to understand that that's not necessarily correct, because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, notice that Matthew 10, 28, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. See, hell is a both soul death and a physical death. Now, the reason for the confusion is because what happens is when someone dies physically, their body is buried on this earth. If they're not saved, their soul, yes, goes down to hell, which is in the center of the earth. And I'm not trying to turn this into a big theological sermon. The Bible tells us one day there's coming a future event called the judgment seat of Christ, which is the judgment of believers. And then there will also be the great white throne judgment, which is the judgment of unbelievers. We will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ after our resurrection, when we are raptured and resurrected in our glorified bodies. We'll be judged by God at the judgment seat of Christ. But the Bible also teaches that there will be a resurrection of damnation, where the people that are in hell, their souls will be taken out of hell, their bodies will be resurrected, they will be reunited, both body and soul, they will be judged at the great white throne. And that's what's being referred to in Revelation 20:14, when the Bible says, and death, their bodies, and hell, their souls, will both be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. They will die a second time, and their soul will not only be in hell, but they're both, the Bible says that God will destroy both soul and body in hell. And I want you to understand this, because this is the payment. These are the wages. This is what's needed to be paid for sin. And if you and I are going to pay for our own sins, and every man can choose to pay for their own sins, then you will pay for your sins. There's only one way you can pay for your sins, for you to die and go to hell and spend eternity in hell. That's the payment of sin. You say, why are you bringing this up? Here's why I'm bringing it up. Because what Jesus came to do, go to 1 Corinthians 15 if you would. I'm not sure if you kept your place in Romans. If you kept your place in Romans, right after Romans, you have the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What Jesus came to do was he came to pay for our sins. And in order to do that, he had to pay for it in the same way that you and I would pay for it. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, notice what the Bible says. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ, notice, died for our sins according to the Scriptures. See, Jesus died to pay for our sins. You say, well, how did he do that? What happened? Well, first of all, he died physically. That's what we're actually remembering tonight as we partake of the Lord's Supper. Go to Mark, if you would. Mark chapter 15. You've got Matthew, then the book of Mark. Mark chapter 15. Tonight, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, this is an ordinance. If you remember, I've taught you that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, things that are referred to as ordinances are things that are done symbolically. They are a foreshadow. They are something that is a shadow of things, symbolism of things either to come in the Old Testament or things that have happened in the New Testament. And today, we are partaking in this religious ritual to remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we take the bread tonight and it is broken and it is given to you in a broken way and you eat of it, it is a picture of the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ because his body was broken. By the way, this is one of the reasons why at our church when we do the Lord's Supper, my wife will actually bake unleavened bread, and we will literally tear it apart and hand it out. Many churches will serve these perfectly cut crackers and these perfectly cut things, but the whole reason that the bread is broken, it's torn apart, is because his body was broken. When he was whipped, when he was beaten, his body was broken. When we take the grape juice and we pour it, it is a picture and a symbolism of the blood that was shed, the blood that was poured by our Savior when he died physically to pay for our sins. Because if the payment of sin is a physical death, then he had to die physically to pay for our sins. Mark chapter 15, look at verse 15. Notice here we have a description of the death of Christ. I won't read the whole chapter, but I want you to notice some things here in verse 15. The Bible says, and so Pilate willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus. Notice, when he had scourged him. To be scourged means to be beaten or whipped. He says, when he had scourged them to be crucified. Notice verse 22, same chapter, Mark 15, verse 22. And they bring him, referring to Jesus, unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. They bring him to this mountain called Golgotha or called Calvary. We're told that it was called the place of a skull. Some people say that the reason for it is because it has the image of a skull in the way that it is formed. Notice verse 23. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. They put him on a cross. They nailed him to a cross in order to die. Look at verse 33. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth. They put him on this cross. And please understand this. Today, when you and I think of a cross, we think of a religious symbol. But during the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross was not a religious symbol. The cross was a symbol of death. The cross had been invented as a tool of torture and as a tool to kill someone in a very slow and a very painful way. The Greeks had invented it. The Romans had perfected it. It had really become a symbol of the Roman Empire as they would put their enemies upon the cross. And Jesus had been beaten. He had been mocked. He had been spat upon. He was nailed to this cross and left to die. Verse 37, the Bible says, notice again verse 33, and when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land. The whole land went dark until the ninth hour. Notice verse 37. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. He died physically. That's what we're remembering tonight. Why? Here's why. Because the payment, the wages of sin is death. And when he died, the Bible tells us in verse 38, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Amen. We could preach about that all night. I won't take the time to do it, but there's a symbolism here that the veil that separated man from God had now been rent in twain. Christ, the mediator, had died and had given us access to God the Father from the top to the bottom. Notice verse 39, and when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. The Bible tells us in other places that there were earthquakes. The Bible tells us in other places that men resurrected. Go with you, if you would, with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. You're there in Mark, you go past Luke, John, Acts, Acts chapter 2. Remember that Jesus came to pay for sin. He came to make the payment for my sin and for your sin. And the payment for sin, if you remember, we talked about it, is what? Death and hell. And when Jesus came to this earth, he had to pay for sin. And the Bible tells us, and the Bible teaches, and I realize what I'm about to tell you right now is not very popular. I understand it's fine here. You know the Bible and you understand the Bible. It's not something that's taught very much in churches, and many Christians aren't even aware of this. But the Bible tells us that when Jesus died on the cross, the process of salvation was not over. He said it is finished, but when he said it is finished, he was meaning to the fact that his physical life, he had what he was supposed to do on this earth physically, was done. The Bible tells us that what was needed for salvation was not yet done, because the Bible says that in order to be saved, we must believe that he rose from the dead. He still had to resurrect from the grave in order for salvation to be complete. And between his death and between his resurrection, there was still a payment that needed to be made. You say, what was it? Well, if you and I were to pay for our sin, we would die and go to hell. And the Bible tells us that for 3 days and three nights, Jesus, his soul, went down to hell. Acts chapter 2, verse 31. Notice what the Bible says. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. Notice that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. In Acts 2:27, the Bible says, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. See, the Bible tells us that Jesus not only died physically, but that his soul went down to hell. Why? Because the payment of sin is death, and the second death of going to hell. So he went down to hell to pay for our sins. In Matthew chapter 12, if you would, I'd like you to see these verses. Go to Matthew, if you would. You're there in Acts. Just go back to Matthew, past John, Luke, Mark, Matthew. Matthew chapter 12, this is, it's interesting to me that this is such an incredibly unpopular belief. People will sometimes think that because we say what the Bible says, that Jesus went to hell, that we're being disrespectful of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is absolutely not true. He died on the cross, though he did not have to pay for our sin. But if all he would have done was died on the cross, that would have only paid partially for our sin. There's another aspect to the payment of sin, which is hell. And to me, I mean, the conversation is over when you have a verse like, he's seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. I mean, whatever you like, whatever you think, conversation's done. That's what the Bible says, period. Amen. The Bible says that his soul was not left in hell. End of story. It's the word of God. But Jesus taught this himself very clearly. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. Notice what the Bible says. Matthew 12 and verse 40. Jesus said, for as Jonas, remember he was asked for a sign. They said, will you give us a sign? And he said, here's the sign I'm going to give you. For as Jonas is referring to Jonah, the prophet in the Old Testament. Remember Jonah, who was swallowed by a whale? Here's what Jesus said. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, he says, so, that word so means in the same manner or pattern, shall the Son of Man, referring to himself, he said, shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. What is the heart of the earth? It is the center of the earth. He said, hey, the same way that Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, the Son of Man is going to be 3 days and three nights between his death and his resurrection in the heart of the earth, in the center of the earth. I'd like you to go back to the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 2. In the Old Testament, if you find the prophetic books towards the end, You'll see the big book of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. I'd like you to see it. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Even science, which is often wrong about a lot of things, will tell you that in the center of the earth is fire. That in the heart of the earth is lava. That in the heart of the earth is what you might call a lake of fire. An inferno. And Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The really interesting thing is that Jesus said, he said, look, I'm going to die physically. He talked a lot about that. I'm going to die. But he's like, he said, that's not just it. Once I die physically, there's going to be 3 days between my death and my resurrection. And for those 3 days, he told us what he was going to be doing. He said, I will be in the center of the earth. And then he says, like Jonah, when he was in the whale's belly. What's really interesting is that when you go back to the book of Jonah, when Jonah is in the whale's belly, Jonah begins to prophesy about the coming Messiah. And Jonah makes some statements that do not apply to Jonah. They apply to the coming Messiah. And then that coming Messiah referenced back to Jonah and said, remember when Jonah was in the whale's belly? Like he was in there for 3 days and three nights. I'm going to be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. I'd like you to notice what Jonah said when he was in the whale's belly for 3 days and three nights. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Where was Jonah? Jonah was in the fish's belly, in the whale's belly, and said, notice what he says. Here he's prophesying, not about himself, because he's in the fish's belly, but he said, the Bible tells us there, Jonah 2, 2, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Notice, out of the belly of hell cried I. Was Jonah in hell? No. Where was Jonah? In the fish's belly. He's prophesying about the Messiah. Jonah's saying, the same way I'm in this whale's belly for 3 days and three nights, the coming Messiah is going to be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And Jonah says, let me tell you where he's going to cry out of. He will cry out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Notice he continues to prophesy in verse 6. He says, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. He said, I was in the center of the earth underneath the mountains. Was Jonah underneath the mountains in the whale's belly? He says, the earth with her bars was about me. He says, I was in the center or the heart of the earth. But Jonah's not there. He's prophesying about Jesus. He says, I was the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. And in Acts we're told, he seeing before spake this of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. All these things are connected. Jesus said, I'm going to be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights like Jonah was in the whale's belly. And then you go back and look at Jonah in the whale's belly and he says, I'm in the whale's belly like the coming Messiah is going to be in hell for 3 days and three nights. You say, why? Here's why. Because Jesus came to make a payment for our sin, which included a physical death and the second death of going down to hell. This is why the Bible says, go to Isaiah 53. You're there in Jonah. You go backwards, you'll find the book of Isaiah. You go past Obadiah, Amos, Joel, Hosea, Daniel, Ezekiel, Lamentations, Jeremiah, Isaiah. Isaiah 53. I just want you to remember, because what we're doing tonight is we are remembering the sacrifice that was made by the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember, tonight we celebrate, we remember, his death. But it's not till 3 days from now, on Sunday, on Easter Sunday, that we celebrate his resurrection. I want you to remember that when he died, he spent 3 days and three nights in hell as a payment for our sin. Isaiah 53 and verse 10, notice what the Bible says. By the way, Isaiah 53 is one of the most amazing messianic prophecies. Isaiah 53, I won't take the time to go through it tonight, but if you go through it, you'll see very clear prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of them in verse 10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Notice these words. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. See, it wasn't just enough that his body was made an offering for sin. His soul was also made a burnt offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. So what are we celebrating? Why are we doing this? Why all of this ritual and somberness? Because of the fact that we are remembering the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fact that he made a payment for our sin by dying physically and going down to hell to pay for our sins. So, well, what's the point of the resurrection? Well, here's the point of the resurrection. We'll talk about it in Easter. Is that if Jesus would have simply died and gone to hell, there's nothing special about that. That's what every unsaved man does. When he resurrected, he proved that he was who he said he was, the Son of God, God on earth, God in the flesh, and that his sacrifice was enough to pay for our sins. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this great sacrifice that Jesus made. That he died physically, and then his soul went down to hell to pay for our sins. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we take the next few moments and partake of the Lord's Supper. You'd help us to be serious about it, to remember it, and to worship you for the great payment that was made for our sin. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.